Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, we're having a very returning guest, Joan Cara, who is channel those who have passed on. Are you there, Joan?
Yeah, I'm here. And thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming on. It's funny. After our interview last time, because you had channeled my grandparents, I let my mom listen to the interview, and she was saying that it was interesting, because she said, you know, a lot of the stuff that you, I was not able to verify a lot of the stuff that you had said, because mom knew more than I did, but she listened to it, and she was impressed.
Oh, good.
She was impressed. She said that, you know, that there was a lot of, like, see, there is Native American blood, and that there is, there was a lot of stuff that was
that you didn't know, but she knew. Okay, yeah, that would happen, yeah.
And when we channel Madeline Marie O'Hare, I guess it's harder because we don't really...
We can't confirm that, yeah. I had an interesting experience today. I was asked by the Spiritualist Church. I'm a guest medium there, and the first thing that I saw was in my mind's eye was a fire in somebody's house, and I said, I see the fire, but it's a gentleman, but he survived. And this girl rose her hand in the audience and said that her father was in a bad fire, and you know, he was a burn victim for many years. So I channeled him, and what was interesting, he said that even though, you know, that was a sense of hell, he actually realized that the spirit, he became close to God, because the flesh is, you know, not as important as the spirit and the soul.
Right.
Yeah, but it was very interesting to see this image of the fire. It's not something I want to see, but somebody was there to confirm.
Because, I mean, it was just amazing to me, like, she was really, like, saying, because I think what it is that, you know, it goes back in history when you, I have another question, do the spirits ever communicate with you, do they ever have a sense of humor?
Oh, they have lots of sense of humor, of course, yeah, actually, they're very, yeah, actually, one of the funniest ones was, I was reading a young guy, early 20s, who was studying acting, and I get a spirit who was like a comedian, very funny, and the guy said, you know, you got your looks from your father, but you got your acting talent from me, and he was doing all these one-liners, and the young man then said, well, that's my uncle, he's kind of funny looking, and he was a stand-up comic in the Midwest, so it was very funny, and the guy was ending it by saying, you know, if you want to write a script, I'll write it with you. And he just, I'm not making it as funny as it was, but it was a very, very funny, humorous thing. Yeah, they can definitely have a sense of humor. Some of them, sometimes you get their feelings of, like if it's a lifelong depressive, I would get that energy too. Yeah, but, and also, it's so absurd. I have to have a good sense of humor to do this work, because it is very surreal.
Well, like, for instance, another one that I always thought would be interesting to channel would be Helen Keller. Because Helen Keller, you know, and obviously when she was, whenever I talk about someone who is blind, you know, I always say, well, they got the hearing to help.
Right.
But when someone is deaf, I say, well, they got their sight. I would think that someone... I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine.
Because it's so hard to imagine. You would think that someone who had both couldn't even have any concept of what the world is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know.
That would be something, yeah. Yet, you know, I remember reading her autobiography when I was a kid. It was very, very profound. And now, you know, a friend of mine asked me a big question. We saw the... I don't know why we were talking about Helen Keller, but she said, now I can't remember, I know it's Annie was her teacher, lifelong companion teacher. She said, how much of it do you think was communicative of it, of her how much of Helen's writing do you think was written by Annie? Like maybe Annie and somehow phrased it, or maybe we got the... I mean, I don't know. I thought that was a good question to think about.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Helen Keller was psychic? We have to admit,
she had to be intuitive to survive.
You know, something like that. I mean
she had to have some kind of sense that was enhanced to survive.
Yeah, because it's like, I just can't even imagine. I mean, it's like, it's hard for me to imagine that a person who is deaf and blind could communicate. The whole story just seems impossible.
Well, there's that movie out based on the book, The Bell Jar and the Butterfly, about this man who had a very severe stroke where the only thing he could move was blinking one eye, and he wrote a book. So, and then, you know, so if there's a will, there's a way in some way. The other one, my left foot, the guy who had cerebral palsy, and
right.
He could type with the left foot.
Well, was my left foot based on a true story?
Yeah. And I saw the guy on TV, like on Merv Griffin, years ago. And he came on, and you know, he didn't talk well. And it was pretty amazing. It was based on a true story, yeah. So if there's a will, there's a way. People are locked up, but there's determination. And I think just as an attribute of the soul, I mean, right?
Right.
There's a bigger presence than just the body. The body's very limiting.
Have you ever, I know that this isn't your expertise, but have you ever channeled an animal?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Really?
Yeah, and they're cute because... you know, I don't see it, like, I don't hear it like a dog barking. It'd be, you know, I hear it in, like, simple English. Yeah, because they have very strong personalities, and what's funny is they, a lot of them have the attitude that they're the ones taking care of their, well, I don't like to say the word owner or master, but whatever you want to know, the pet caregiver, they feel like they have a job and that they're taking care of them. So it's kind of a funny thing. And one cat told me she didn't understand why her pet owner was staring at this box all the time, which was the TV. And she just said, I don't understand why you're just staring at this box. It makes no sense to me. It was kind of funny because the cat observed this, and it was just, you know, not comprehensible.
You know, we had a, many years ago, you know, we had a dog named Waldo, and the dog made the paper because he was very smart. Like, this is some of the stuff he could do. Like, Mom would take him to the, I think it was either the kennel or the pet store. I forgot where it was. And there was and what happened was that every time that Mom would take Waldo home, she would get a phone call from, I think it was either the pet store or the some other store, and then they would say, Mrs. Gutierrez, because her name was Gutierrez, and they had changed her name. And she goes, your dog is here. And apparently what had happened was that Mom went to go pick him up, and apparently there was this beautiful little poodle there. And I think Waldo had a crush on it, so he would always go see the poodle, you know.
Wait, he would sneak out of her car or something?
Yeah, like, and he would do things like, well, not sneak out of the car, but like he would leave for weeks at a time and then come back.
Yeah, but wait. Your mom brought him to the dog place, and then she would come home and the dog wasn't there at home?
Yeah, and then she would be back at the dog would be back at the dog place.
In love with the poodle.
Yeah.
Very funny.
It had just this incredible sense of direction.
Yeah.
And it was this, it had this unusual sense of direction. It was just so smart. I mean, and it was like, and they wound up doing a story on it in the paper because of it was just being so, they called it Walda, the wandering dog.
Oh, wow.
So it's probably here. I mean, I think we still have the article somewhere, but if we're all sitting out front, and I think I'm like pulling in a balloon. And I think he one time, if I'm not mistaken, I think he traveled like from Athens to Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he came back?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
But how do you know he went to wherever he went?
Because we had two houses.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, they have strong personalities. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I had one woman who has a couple of dogs, and one dog died, and he was the older dog, and he, I think the other dogs were girls, and he said he didn't want the other dogs to eat out of his old bowl. He was very, and she said even when he was alive, he wouldn't let the other dogs touch his bowl. So it was kind of interesting because he had a territorial thing. This is mine. The other ones could eat out of another bowl, but you're not touching mine. And he's, it was kind of interesting because he knew what was going on if he got a new dog and things like that.
I have another question. This has to do with kids. You know, they say that kids are very psychic.
Yeah, they are.
And it's sort of funny because, like, for instance, I won't ever mention any of my sisters by name, but this is something that happened a lot when I was growing up. I was sort of, I guess being a Gemini, I'm sort of, the messenger. So I always get sent around to do these, these errands by my little sisters. And one time, Chris, I won't say, one of my sisters, she would, I almost said her name, but I stopped. But
yeah, but you did. All right, go ahead.
She would send me on these excursions, and I would hear the name, Johnny!
Wait, what would you hear?
Johnny! Can you get
your name, yeah.
We get Archie comic book because they used to read Archie all the time. And then I would go and I would pick it up, but see, here's the thing. I was in the other room. And I would say things like, okay, remember, I was in the other room. This is what this has to do with relations being psychic, is I'm in the other room, and I'm saying, is it this one here? And then over the other room I would hear, no, it's not that one, it's the one next to it.
Yeah.
Now, you see my point, you see how that socially, when you're a kid, you don't really think about it.
Right, but how's she seeing through walls, yeah.
She can't possibly be seeing through a wall, but she would do this. And she would say, no, not this one, that one. It's the one over it. It's the one next to it. You can't.
You and your sister never questioned it, that how could she see from the other side of the wall?
Right.
Did you ever ask her now about that incident?
I asked her about it now, and she laughs her head off. And she used to go, and she goes, that's, it's just so amazing because I can't believe we did that to you.
Wow!
But it's just that it's just we would.
It was so natural.
Yeah, it's like with kids, they don't know the social rules. They don't know that they're not supposed to do that. They don't know, like, if it's like, well, gee, there's no way that she can possibly see that.
Yeah.
I mean, and she would always send me to go get her Archie comic books, or I would always be sent to, go get a math book or a Diet Coke, or I was sort of the messenger, and I was I should say, because, we have some people in the chat room, the number to call in is 646-716-8659. And I think we have a call, so I'm going to connect this person in. All right?
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Erica.
Hi, Erica.
I was just wondering if I have any messages about my biological father.
About your what?
Biological father.
Okay. What's his name?
John.
Okay. You know, I get a lot of physical pain right now. I don't know if he's has some illness right now. It doesn't have to be a serious one, but, like, I get a lot of stomach problems or something. He tried to reestablish his life again. He wasn't the luckiest man in the world, okay? And I get the impression you haven't seen him for quite a while or never saw him. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he was rejecting you, but the circumstances of his life were very difficult. And it seemed like he couldn't even take care of himself sometimes. So how was he going to be able to take care of you? Doesn't mean that he didn't want to. It means he couldn't, okay? And this would be an issue of a forgiveness issue. It would be hard to track him down. I think he's still alive, but he's not easy to find in some way. There's a connection, though, to the grandmother. I don't know if she's still alive, but did you ever? I think the grandmother wanted it. I think his mother wanted to contact you at one point. I don't know if that ever happened.
No.
Did,
I
mean, no?
I don't know.
But somehow, yeah, but you also have to honor and respect that your mother didn't want him in your life either. It could have complicated things. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. It was too painful for her, and he, let's see how we're going to phrase this. He does wonder about you sometimes, but he's not in position to give you anything, okay? And he does have guilt, but, let's see how we're going to do it. This is going to be a mystery for you. I mean, unless you, I hear not to force the issue, but I do sense there's a part of you that really wants to resolve this and confront him. And that is very courageous. At the same time, it may not give you the answers you want, because the answers you want, he wouldn't even be able to say, okay? So somehow you could send him a healing and a forgiveness, and you could also, you know, spiritually, psychically, or also tell him you had a hard time not having a real daddy, you know? But it doesn't resolve easily. It's not something that I could give you a great letter from him. I just get a sense he wasn't able to take care of himself. And your mom and him would just be fighting if he entered the picture, okay? So I think you do have a right to try to find out about him. I just don't think it's an easy one, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I could give you more, like, specific and say, you know, but it's not an easy one.
No.
It's hard to even find this guy. And
okay.
He has a lot of rejection from your mom and fear even to even search for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
It kind of does. It's not an easy one. I mean, I would have loved to say, oh, in 2 years you're going to get a letter from your dad and, you know, he wants to be back in life and he's like Santa Claus, but he isn't. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, he's a
I could just say psychically she should communicate with him of just forgiveness, which
right.
is not easy, and also telling him what she's been through, not saying, oh, you know, I love your daddy, more like I'm, you know, I had a difficult life. My mom was a single mom, and
how could you?
But you know, what could you do? This is not an easy one.
Yeah, not to cut you off. I think she got her question answered, but she hung up. But
okay, well, who else is there?
Well, see, there's a few people. Let me see. I could ask the chat room if they have any questions.
All right.
Let me see. Does anyone have any questions? No? Okay. All right. Yeah, I just typed that in. But, you know, like I was saying, I mean, a lot of times I think psychic ability comes about when from the people who don't really think that there are certain things that are that they should socially know.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, when I was younger, I mean, the whole business with going in the other room. I mean, you know, and getting something for my sister, you know, for my
yeah.
sister. I mean, it's like they should know this. They should know that they can't see this.
Right.
But when they would, you know, they would say, okay, next line. No, it's right below it. It's right below it. There's a book. There's a book to get the book. That's not the book. Next book over. And
how old were you?
I was probably 10, and I think my sister that would do that to me, although all three of them did that to me, were probably the younger one that did that to me along was probably about 8 or 7. And she used to read Archie comic books all the time.
Yeah, okay. So do we have any other callers?
No, but I have... I asked the chat room if anybody has any questions for you. All right?
Could you explain that to me? How are you on a chat room?
Oh, okay. I have a chat room that I have that's a Java chat that is open.
And they hear the show?
Yes, they hear the show, but they can also ask questions in the chat room. I'll probably tell them to call in.
Wow.
Right now in the chat room we have, there's nobody that's calling in right now, but right now we have about 3 people. One is named K-A-L-E-Y Dogs, and the other one is handled as Pisces Lady, and the other one is named Cold Case Psychic.
Okay.
And they're all either listening or they're you know, just wandering around. But Oh, somebody asked a question. When people die, like public figures, K-L-E-Y Dogs is answering this question. When people die, like public figures, do they stay doing their thing, like church leaders or politicians?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to listen to the answer. I don't know this immediately.
Huh?
Wait, let me see. It's like on a different dimension. You know, that's funny. Like, sometimes I'll channel someone who does something with their hands, like maybe it's knitting. And I'll see the image of knitting, but I don't know if they're still doing it or the energy. This is what I'm getting. This is a good question, not easy to answer. I get like a yes and no. They're in a different plane, so they can't be exactly what they are. I know they do a period where they review their life, you know, in a school. They will serve a function. Even people who you may think had a little life still serve the function equal to anyone else. It's a pattern of vibrations that are subtle. It's not definable the way you see it in the earth plane. There's a memory that's still alive, which is a vibration. And see, they're on another dimension, so how could they still be doing it if they have to be people who are alive that are part of it? But the vibration has... You have to not think of them as people doing a job.
Right.
It may be an interest that they're still... I'm not going to be able to answer that really simply, okay? That's a good question, but I don't really know.
My opinion on it, though, is obviously views on the world are going to change.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like last time we were on the show, we talked about channeling an atheist. I mean,
yeah.
I don't see how you can channel an atheist and then have him say, well, you know, I don't believe in life after death anymore, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like us saying that we don't believe that life exists. We're alive.
Yeah.
You know? Or it does change your view on the world.
Yeah, because they don't really have to do what they're doing, but they have a lot of knowledge. They may be mentoring somebody who wants to do it.
Yeah, like, for instance, I think that maybe what he's asking, like, for instance, let's say John F. Kennedy, you know, does he ever help out the president, you know?
I don't know. These are good questions. Now, there was an experiment that Hillary did. A lot of the press took on it pretty negatively when she was actually, I can't remember the woman's name who she worked with. It was a famous writer. And it was actually something we actually even do in hypnosis. If she was working with Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, what you do is if Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, is available, what would you say to her? So she was working in that context. But this is years ago, when, like her first year that Bill was president. And I understood what she was doing, but they made it like she's channeling Eleanor Roosevelt. Hey, but why not? You know, big question. So the energy, whether it's real or just the inspiration of Eleanor, was used by Hillary at that time. And she was doing exercises to
it. You were channel, like channel Ronald Reagan and ask them what he thought about 9/11, like, for instance, one thing that I think is a little bit different than the politicians, like the founding fathers, the way they were today, is, you know, we always talk about Bill Clinton, but see what happened. But the thing about Bill Clinton is, probably if something similar had happened with, say, George Washington or John Adams or all those other people, you never would have heard about it because you know, there was no cable television, there was no
And all the paparazzis and the press, and they distort everything. You know, that was a great exercise. Even if you say it wasn't spirit that she was channeling, it's a great exercise to say, if I can be a creative being person and think the way Eleanor Roosevelt did, and she's someone I admire, what would be her actions or her take on certain situations now? And that's sort of like putting a paradigm of, I want to follow someone, like, and how would she do it? And, you know, but the press took it, at least the woman was thinking and had an idol. I mean, come on, you know, the insanity, but you have to be creative with people you admire and want to be inspired by, because that's how their work lives on.
Well, yeah, like, you know, have you ever channeled a former president or?
No, I never thought of it. I mean, it just never came up. It'd be kind of interesting, but then unless someone's really there to verify it, how do I know it's not my imagination and it really is the president, you know?
Yeah.
That's why when you do, like, people that I can't prove.
Right.
I really like having somebody where I get a detail where, oh, there's no way you would know, that's not even in any book. But
when you see
it
on my grandmother, you did a good job. I mean, it was.
Yeah, no, but that, your mom was able to confirm. But if I said I'm going to channel Reagan, I mean, there's certain things we all know about him. But how do you know I'm just not using my imagination and just making it up, you know?
I will tell you this. Like, let me tell you something that you said last time you were on the show that got verified. You kept mentioning stories. She likes to tell stories. Well, and you kept saying this over and over and over again. Well, as soon as my mom heard this, this is what she said. Bible stories. Bible stories. She would tell Bible stories. All the time. And we also have another question from the chat room that says, okay, for example, do the church leaders still have their group following with them, or is it more universal?
Well, it has to be universal because the, it's funny, the group, it's not like you bring, you see, you can't bring the head. I mean, they're on another plane. How would you bring that group? But they have an inspiration for those people. But you have other people who now have to take over leadership. They will also have, all right, like Martin Luther King Jr.'s energy still is there, but it's something where, huh, you see, yeah, there is still a lot. I mean, these are questions of like, the reason I can't answer it is because we're putting the dead as though they, I know the dead are living in a certain vibration, but in terms of everybody following them or being, or dictated by them, you know, they are gone. And those people, you know, the group still loves them, but now there has to be room for other leaders.
So a Baptist or a Methodist leader would have to be more, make more of a get along and be more universal now.
Be more of a what?
More universal. If they were,
well, universal because his energy is now part of the universe. Yeah. I mean, I think his congregation would still miss him and love him and feel that they have to carry his work. So in that sense, it still lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But then you also, there's going to be room for the new. Like it's a seed, some seedlings, a little trees are going to start growing, saying, well, I have ideas too. I want to use their energy force, but I want to put my energy force in it too. So I think it's a mix, you know.
Yeah.
I think that love and their spirit and their influence is always going to be there.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you know, like for instance, it must be interesting. That, like, one thing, reason I brought up Ronald Reagan is because, you know, Ronald Reagan, as you know, had Alzheimer's. So
yeah.
He might, towards the end of his life, I felt so sad, you know, regardless of what you thought about Ronald Reagan.
Oh, it was, that's a horrible illness, yeah.
And the thing that I don't like about Alzheimer's is, you know, towards the end of his life, they had to refer to him in the past tense.
Oh.
You know, they would always say, well, he did this, he did that, oh, he was so this, he was so that. Mm-hmm. And you never saw him out in public. It was always Nancy Reagan with flowers.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And it was almost like you couldn't really, I mean, it was like you're talking about a dead person. And so you're,
yeah, well, part of him did die. But Alzheimer's is a funny thing because when I have channeled people with Alzheimer's and it's very quiet, I'd be like, I would get a silence and then a word, then a silence and then a word. I would get it very quiet, and I would say to that person, excuse me, have Alzheimer's? And then my client would say, yeah. And then I could speed it up because I get them at a younger age. But it's pretty interesting. The mind is very, you know, it's calmer. But it's not, I can't say the mind's calmer. My mind is calmer, quiet, you know, because there are things there that's stressful and their thoughts get mixed up with crazy ideas. But
so a person with Alzheimer's is the hardest one to channel?
No, I didn't say it was the hardest. I said it gets very quiet in my mind when I hear them talk. It's like I get one word, then it's a pause, then I get the other word.
Oh, and then you go back to another.
Yeah, then I say, you know, do they have Alzheimer's? That's my symbol. You know, it's not that Alzheimer's, you're quiet and silent, but that's the symbol I get when.
When you
pick up someone with Alzheimer's, that's how I know it's someone with Alzheimer's. It's a symbol. Doesn't mean their thought processing is silent because some of them talk and have a lot of things, you know, it's confusion, but they do talk, yeah.
It's just that what you do is that they make themselves known by showing.
Yeah, by that method. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They make themselves known. That was a good phrase.
I gotcha. they just sort of show themselves as sort of a,
yeah, and that's the symbol I get. Yeah.
I mean, do you ever have you ever had a spirit just come to you out of the blue?
That's a good question. I don't think so. No, I don't get like strays coming into my life or.
So it's not like the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg, where you know.
No, and you don't have all that dramatic things to say. You know, the movies make it really different. It's more of a. No, I wouldn't want to go through that. I wouldn't want to. No, I never had a stray like say, "Oh, go get in touch with so and so." Even though a friend of mine once did, she did have a spirit tell her to go to someone's house who she didn't know well or something, and it was like their child who died, who was bugging her or something. I'm not going to explain the story very well because I've heard it so many years ago. But I don't get that.
Now, let me ask this. What's your opinion on reincarnation in regards to channeling?
I have a mixed opinion. I don't know. I think anything's possible. Does everybody get reincarnated? I don't know. So I'm not an expert on it. And one of the reasons I have a hard time with it is because the people, when I channel people who pass, they don't talk about reincarnation. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It could be they did reincarnate, but I'm getting their energy that wants to communicate here. I don't know. I have done hypnosis where I hypnotized someone and we did reincarnation, but I always have the premise that it may be really a reincarnated memory that you have, or we could be writing a narrative. And the reason I have this is when I have done the hypnosis for past life on myself, where people did it for me, I was always in the same time period. And part of me felt, I feel like I'm writing a story unless I could verify this name and it's in a book and, you know, that really existed. I don't know. I do have mixed feelings. There are people who are very well-read on this or not just well-read. They're believers or I just think God, I can't prove that everyone gets reincarnated. I don't know. And I don't know why the people who are passed on don't talk about it with me.
Well, like, for instance, I have a book called Conversations with Dead People.
That's what it's called?
Huh?
Okay, that's what it's called?
Yeah, and there's people, like, in the past, and there was an entry for Abraham Lincoln.
There was a what?
Abraham Lincoln.
No, what was the sentence before that? There was a what? An entry?
Entry on Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
And what they said was that Abraham Lincoln got reincarnated as Martin Luther King.
Well, that's interesting.
So channeling both of them, channeling either of them would just lead to the other.
Really?
But
that was for that channeler. I don't think everybody who channels them gets the two.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that the writer.
Now, who was the author?
I forgot who the author was, but they talked to like Moses, it was an interesting idea. There was this one where, but I always thought, you know, to the oldest spirit. Like the ones, like say, if you were, I think I heard a show in Tupper that you got tried to channel Abraham.
Yeah.
And Abraham is like a pretty old, would be a pretty old spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, with someone that old of a spirit, have a lot to say, or would they have less to say? Like, say, someone who died. 10,000 years ago.
Oh.
Would they have more to say than someone who died 50
years ago? I don't know. I don't know. But why Well, wouldn't it be, if you're a smart person who likes to have a lot to say, you have a lot to say. If you're someone who doesn't like to talk, you have nothing to say. I don't know. I don't think it has to do with age.
It just seems like to me that you would think after thousands of years that you would want to move on and possibly...
Well, maybe there... But I think you're looking... You can't look at time linear. It's not like... See, time isn't going to be anything the way we conceive it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that, yeah. But I can't explain it, why time would be... That's beyond Einstein, and I can't do it.
Yeah, it's... what you do is you don't really... You're not really so much into channeling the famous. You're more into channeling...
Well, no one asked me for the famous, except Elvis. They're always asking me, but... I don't really get, I do get Houdini, I'm always asked to do that. I'm not really asked to do the famous, you know, because in one sense, is that just something theatrical I'm doing? Because I can't prove it unless you knew Elvis, and then, you know.
Right.
Most people want to know about their relatives because they have a bond. I did do Robert Schumann once for these people writing a play about him. But it doesn't come up where, unless you, I mean, there's another person I'm doing who is famous, is the guy who sculpted Mount Rushmore. There's a woman working on something. So, but it's not like every minute people are asking me. That's like if you're writing and researching something, but I don't get asked. I mean, let's face it, if you're going to pay the psychic money and go see them, you're going to want to talk to one of the people you love. I mean, if you love someone famous, fine, but they kind of, unless you're working on a research project, you don't really ask for those other people because you want to talk to your dad or something, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if it comes up, but I always feel with trepidation about, you know, is it more, you know, it's not something solid I can prove. And then we know so much about these people that am I... You know what I mean? Even though I can say, well, I'm in trance, I feel like it's a tricky thing. I don't know. That becomes a little bit too theatrical, and you're kind of like, well, you know, these people say, well, I'm channeling Mozart, I play just like him, and now I'm doing the Chopin. You know, we kind of always laugh at that. Maybe they are, but maybe they're not. I can't really be the one. I mean, anything's possible. At the same time, what we think is the psychic energy of that person may not be. I don't know. This is not a hard science for us to prove. You know, does she really play the music of Chopin's new compositions? You know, we don't know.
Yeah, one of the, I understand because it's also pretty hard, I guess, when a loved one is gone, like as a result of something horrible, like a murder or something.
Oh.
You ever had that happen?
Wait, I didn't hear what the question was. What?
As a result of a murder.
Yeah, I've had to do that. And I've had to do, sometimes we had cases where they weren't sure if it was a suicide. One guy fell off the ladder, steps. And the coroner thought it was a suicide, but I thought he tripped on shoelaces or something. So you can't tell.
I'm just trying to interrupt. We have a caller.
Okay.
Right. Oh, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm in the room of Pisces Lady.
Are you Pisces Lady?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You have a question?
Yes, I do. I was just wondering about my, well, I call him my dad. He was my stepfather, but he was actually a dad to me. And I was just curious if he was all right. If
What's his name and what's your name? I didn't catch your name.
My name is Linda.
Linda, and what's your dad? Let's call him your dad. He was your dad. Your dad?
Right. My dad's name was John.
Okay. You know, he made a big effort to be your dad. I like this guy. He knows what love is, and he wants to be very clear about that. He's always around you. He feels he's never left the family. Do you have a sister?
Yes.
He's around her too, because he's very, he was very humble and grateful that he was able to have a family, even if it wasn't, you know, biological, it still was his. I keep seeing a truck around him. Does that make any sense?
Unless it's my brother. My brother's a truck driver.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's saying hello to your brother, because I mentioned your sister. Now he needs to say hello to your brother. Okay. Oh, that's funny. Okay. No, this man's at peace. He loves the trees. I keep seeing pine trees or a forest. I think he loves nature, this man. He even had peace within his life while he was living. Did your mom sew a lot?
Pardon me?
Did your mother sew a lot?
No.
No, your grandmother? Somebody's a sewer. His mother?
She may have been.
We don't know for sure. I keep seeing sewing and repairs. He had a full heart, but I think he also had a heart attack or heart trouble.
Yeah, he had heart trouble and breathing trouble.
Yeah, but he had a full heart of love, he says, and that's something that doesn't die. That's kind of a beautiful statement. He's at peace, and he's been around the family.
Okay, and I'm sure he's around my mom, too.
Yeah, but he's been around you, too. He just was very humble that he was able. He started a family late, right?
Well, he actually was married before my mom, and he had some boys, but
the second family, he was older, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, but it was good, yeah. Yeah, he's a nice man.
And he
loved your mom, and he was happy he had a second half of his life. You know, he was happy he could change his life and have a family again. It was important for him.
Okay. Does he have any messages for my mom?
Something about silver. All right, let me see what it is. I don't know if it's there's something silver in the house that she used to polish or something. All right, maybe I could say it the way I heard it. I heard it, keep polishing the silver. Would they have had a silver anniversary coming up soon? What is that, 50 years? No, they didn't, but I don't know what that means. Keep polishing the silver. She may understand what it means. It could be an in-joke about her anniversary or something. People don't polish silver anymore, but I keep hearing that. Unless that's his mother or something. He keeps saying it's like a joke. Keep polishing the silver and she would know what that means. It doesn't make sense to me, but she may understand. Of course, he loves her, and I keep seeing her ironing. She was doing a lot of work for all these kids and for him.
Right.
She needs to. Now she's relaxing more.
Oh yeah.
Now she doesn't have that big job with, you know, taking care of everybody. Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I don't know what it is. I know you're expecting me to have words of comfort, but I keep hearing, keep polishing the silver, and somehow she'll understand.
That.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't even have silver, but she may understand what it means. I don't know.
Okay. Do you see anyone else around me?
I get a dog around you. Did you have a dog growing up? A dog now that passed? Small dog?
A small dog? Yeah, I had a small dog that passed away.
Yeah, the small dog is around
up.
You saying hello, and he kept you company, and sometimes he was small enough where you could just carry him.
Oh, yeah.
He actually liked those adventures. First he didn't. He was a little nervous, but then he calmed down and he liked those adventures.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And he thought it was interesting. He could meet all these people and everybody was looking at him and see all these things. Because he had a bird's eye view, he said, because he was lifted high, like in a little pouch or something, just high. So that was cool. The dog loved his life. He said, you were great.
Oh, good.
All right?
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Did that answer your question? get the person hung up.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I have someone in the chat room, when you have a question, is it better to hear the voice?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Let me see here. What do you need? What information do you need?
Just the name of the person they want.
Okay. Let's see. What is the name person? Okay. His name is James.
Okay, and what's her question? She wants me to talk to James?
Yeah, what's the question? Oh, wait, we actually have a caller.
Okay, well, let's finish the lady with James. Okay.
All right.
I don't want to just, say no. Did James have gray hair?
Did James have gray hair? She actually was, she wants to know if, what does he think of me? I am a man.
She is what?
She says James had gray hair. Asked him if James had gray hair, and I'm telling him that this is a black man and who's asking the question about his father James.
Well, did James have gray hair? I want to make sure I have James. You could have gray hair if you're black.
Oh, I think maybe he didn't. I'm trying to think if he's saying he's a black man or if he's a black man.
Oh, that he had black hair, maybe he said that?
Yeah.
Oh, he had black hair. Okay. All right, because there's a gray-haired man that I keep coming up, okay? So I wanted to make sure if I got James or not. So I didn't get James, right?
Oh, yeah, his hair is black.
I get it. Okay, so his hair is black. All right. So that wasn't James. There's a gray-haired man who comes up. Okay, so let me try to get James. James. I get lungs, congestion in lungs, anything with lungs area. See, I have to confirm before I talk to him.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, because if he says no, then I know I don't have him. I have the wrong person.
Okay, so yeah, something in the lungs, right?
Yeah. Does this man confirm?
Leukemia.
No, it's not the same. I don't think I got James, okay? Because I was getting the lungs. The leukemia is in the blood, so I would say I was getting another person around. What's this man's name in the chat room?
What is your name?
No. What is the man? What's his email? What's his, his name? Who am I talking to?
Yes. What is your name? I'll ask him his name.
Okay. I thought he had a screen name.
Craig. His name is Craig.
Craig. I didn't get James, but I'm getting another man around you. Somebody who had congestion in lungs and gray hair. I'm sorry I didn't get James, but this man came up first. Does that make any sense to you? Anybody else with that identity or energy? Because they came in first. Grandfather or something. And it could be that it's the lady who I'm calling. Okay. If I didn't get him, then what I want to say to Craig is, Craig has a chance now to develop some skills and to, he's going to be developing skills and doing something new, and he could do very well with that, okay? That's the message I got, okay? I don't think I got James, but that's what I got for Craig. And the other man, maybe later on he may realize who it is.
Okay.
Now, who's your caller?
You want to put the caller on now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How are you on the air?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine.
I was wondering what you could tell me about my family.
Well, give me a name. I need to get a name. So
about my father, what he's thinking about. What's my family.
My
father's name is Bob.
Okay, what I'd like to do, the reason I ask for names, I like to grab that name or bring it to me. When I have longer time, then I could get the names and I have time to linger. But
oh yeah,
I want to like pull in Bob so I don't pull in someone else. Even the, okay.
Okay.
Now, I, by any chance, because I was trying to get somebody came up. They had mentioned that I had a cooler, but I had a chat room question. Did Bob have the gray hair and the lung problem?
No, I've got the lung problem. He had white hair.
Okay, then I think I was getting you instead of the James, because we when as soon as Jonathan said we have some question for the chat room, we said, now I have a caller.
Are you in the chat room right now?
No.
I'm saying I got mixed up. I saw the man with the gray hair with in the lungs, but it connects to this woman. It doesn't connect to Craig, okay? But it's because they both came at me at once, Craig and what's your name again?
My name's Lynn.
Lynn. That was why I didn't get Craig, but it's through her. She's got the lung problem. Okay. Let me get this inches away from something. You're going to be, your father says to work on meditations for healing. Of course, go to the doctors, but work on talking to your lungs, meditating with color. You need to do a lot of inner work, okay? It's not easy what you have.
Well, I just wondered what he thought of the family situation.
Okay,
remaining family.
Okay, but that's the first thing he wanted to say. So you got to take care of yourself. Somebody's been very upset. Is there a sister or somebody that's been feuding and one person's upset?
Who's been what? Feuding? Oh, yes, but it's not a sister. I don't have any sisters.
Okay, but
it's
one of the family members is very upset over something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this person...
I didn't know if he could know that or not.
Well, I don't know if he knows it or if I'm picking it up from you. I can't really prove it, but I get that. He sort of wishes that they'd be a family and still have respect and love.
Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. But I just wondered, because the reason why I called...
Well, he's upset over it, because it's a waste of time, because when you're on the other side, you got to review, and why is everybody so unhappy about... Some of this is trivial, but everyone thinks they're right. I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah,
and you're losing respect and love. Why lose love over something silly? That's what your dad's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it like this. And you know what? You're all losing the end. Because whatever you're fighting for, you lose a relationship.
Oh, I realize that.
Person doesn't.
No. The other person's going to end up killing himself because of the hate. You can kill yourself with hate.
Yeah, right. I agree.
And
yeah,
I
and your father's upset over it, and you know what?
People.
It's not a big deal. It's like, even if they brought in a lawyer, they couldn't prove it or get it. It's a waste of time. But that's what they're caught up in, and, you know, it's sad. Your father thinks it's a waste of time. But he wants you to have your own goals and do your, you know, he's proud of you because I think you did take care of the family, correct?
Yes.
And you've been doing well, and you had a lot of sacrifices for it, and you understand. So that's what he's showing me, that, you know, in a way, you got to just stay out of it and mind your own business. And if people get cheated out of things or whatever, so be it, and just keep moving on.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Good. You're doing exactly what your dad wants you to do. You're doing exactly what your dad wants you to do, okay?
That's good.
Yeah, you're the person you get stubborn and mean and hung up on this, and you can't do much about that.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Okay, that was interesting.
Yeah, it's always interesting. You know, let me ask you something. I mean, do you tell a lot of people that you can do this, or do you...
Well, I have a business, and I advertise. But sometimes, you know, sometimes I meet people, I tell them, sometimes I don't. Because sometimes, in your everyday life, sometimes, you know, you're in the shopping, you're going shopping. You want to just not work while you're enjoying the other things. So, you know, sometimes you just, you know, it's... But I do make, you know, I do it professionally, so it's important for me to tell people. But there are times when you don't want to, you know, you want to just relax and, because, you know, it's as soon as people introduce you as a psychic, they're going to make you work. Not that it's work, it's fun, but sometimes you want to just have fun and go dancing and not have to think about problems, because even though I get very fulfilled when I help people, it's wonderful to feel good about yourself because you're helping people. At the same time, a lot of people do call me up, and I have regular clients. I'm the first one to hear bad news, and some of it's very traumatic and painful, and I have to find the words to help them. So sometimes it's difficult because you're not always hearing the good news. You're always hearing, like, the stress and the pain and I lost a job or this one's sick or, you know, I hear that a lot. Of course, I get some good news to the clients, but a lot of times I hear things that you hear things that sometimes people do things that they're in stress or things are unfair. It's painful.
Yeah,
so sometimes you need a break from it, you know. There's only, sometimes you just have to, you know.
Well, we've been on for about an hour.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you again for coming
on. I want to
on.
Thank you for this opportunity, Jonathan.
I hope we can do it again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Right.
All right. Bye.
Oh my God, she's on the show.
Love Talk Radio. This broadcast will begin just after this brief message.
My friends laughed at me when I said I. Yeah.
You may be sitting there right now, wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams. Remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lisa DeBassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-451-4810. That's 1-800-451-4810. 1-800-451-4810.
Hi, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm the secret on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Saturday, for January 12th. Yep, I'm already jumping ahead. And we have Dylan Canary here with us. We're very honored to have him. Vivian has known Dylan for many years, so I will let her.
I'm really, really happy to have Dylan here. Dylan has been just a highlight. So, I'm sort of.
Sitting there right now, wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams. Remember? It's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lisa DeBassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please.
You can't be sitting there right now, wondering how you're going to make it through the day. You worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down. This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams. Remember? It's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful spray tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lisa DeBassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-451-4810. That's 1-800-451-4810.
1-800-451-4810.
Good evening,
and this is
Don Pedonsander. I am hosting a show for Lab for Happiness. This is talking to you over some adversity and
trying to
find
order.
But when I hear now, I'll start to want to let you know. You look back at the
right
way.
For balancing, relaxing, rejuvenating,
spirit. In my case, I use the bowls in conjunction with the Reiki practice, which is, again, another powerful alternative or complementary medical technique or modality to help people overcome physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual challenges in their life. I also do consulting for folks and working with them on identifying the source or the core issue at the root of the adversity in their lives, and then helping them find the pathway toward overcoming it, and most importantly, seeing the gift in the talent that they connected to, because there's always a lesson.
Yeah, it's amazing how some people can live in different lifestyles and not be happy. You know, and some people, they live like what we wouldn't just say is be miserable lifestyles can be very happy.
Well, you're absolutely right. The perspective, you know, in marketing they say, you know, it's all in the perception. And that's true when you talk to people about how they feel about their lives. Some of the wealthiest or most well-known people in the world are idolized as having it all, and deep inside they're miserable, unhappy, and personally bankrupt. Yet there are others that live in the meagerest of circumstances economically, and yet they are able to find joy, small moments of the day. They are able to be grateful for what they have, see the gifts in it, and they are richer than the person with more money in the bank. Certainly.
I mean, are you able to look at someone and tell if they're happy?
You don't hope to be